Thank you for your prayers. Some of you may not know, but about 4 weeks, 6 weeks ago, I had an accident where it was my son and I were carrying a bed, and I went to change my grip on the bed, and I bent down and poked my eye with the leg of the bed and ruptured my cornea, and the guts of my eye fell out, and had an emergency surgery and contained everything. Long story short is that right now I'm not seeing very well out of this eye. And many of you have been praying, and it's been an amazing 6 weeks. Just the amount of people that have contacted me and the prayers that are going into it all and all of that. So I just want to thank you for that. But also want you to know that this morning I'm looking at you as if I'm looking into a steamed up mirror. So I can't see you this morning. I can hear you. So when I'm preaching this morning, I need some feedback so I know that you're there. All right. And all of that. But I just want to thank you for your prayers and whatnot. And I know that in spite of the challenges that we go through, that we still have a mission to outwork. Yeah, God's still on the throne, and this world that we live in is a temporary existence. We live for eternity, amen? And I know that God spoke to me clearly, that he called me to be a mouthpiece, not an eyepiece, yeah? So I'm not deterred by current circumstances, and I'm aware that God's a healing God, so I'm believing for healing. That's in his hands. I believe I'm already healed. In the meantime, I'll keep doing what I'm called to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Fantastic. So let us pray, and then we'll open up the word this morning. Father, I thank you that we can gather as we do every Sunday. Lord God, as your people, not only to worship you together and to fellowship together, but Lord God, we can come and know, Lord God, the fellowship of your presence and your power as we open up your word together. And Father, I come, Lord God, I'm a vessel. And I don't want people to look at me. I want people to see you. And so, Father, I ask, Lord God, as we open up your word today, let your Holy Spirit be in this room. Let your presence be tangible. And, Lord God, I know it is. I felt your presence in worship. And, Lord God, I ask you to continue to be upon every word that is spoken. Father, I think your word is described in Scripture to be active and sharp. It's living. Lord God, we may hear words, but, Father, those words do something powerful in our hearts when it's connected by the Spirit of God. It brings to life, Lord God, faith. It brings to life, Lord God, areas in our lives that need to be amended. And Father, you have the power to shift and change and bring about, Lord God, healing, deliverance, and freedom in Jesus' name. So this morning we ask, have your way in our hearts and our lives for your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Kaya, can I invite you to come up in half an hour's time? So I know that I've only got another half an hour to go. Amen? I can't see the clock, so I'll just keep going until I hear music. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Just to help set the scene for the message this morning, I want us to understand that many of us have an understand in theology around this, but I just want to remind us again, and those of us who may not be aware, I just want to bring to your attention the fact that we live in a temporary world, but we are a vision and our focus on an eternal destination, right? So we are, through our faith in Jesus Christ, we have an eternal perspective, not a temporary one. Those who don't know Christ only expect and experience from their thinking and from their perspective that, hey man, I'm only on the planet for a certain amount of time and then that's it. But we have a revelation through the Word of God that through the work of the cross that we are born again, and because of that born again experience, we are now have eternal life, that we have we step through a veil at death into eternity. So we understand that, but we also understand that that there's a spiritual realm that exists on top of what we see in the natural eye. Yeah, we understand that there are angels, there are demons, there's God in heaven We understand all that. When we read scripture, we get glimpses of that. An example of that would be in Daniel. We know that when Daniel, he was praying and fasting for 21 days, and because he read the scriptures and realized, hey man, a nation is only supposed to be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years, and he looked at the calendar and says, hey man, this is the 69th year. We're supposed to be free next year, and it doesn't even look like we're going to even have that experience by the current environment. So he begins to pray and he begins to fast for the outworking and for the accomplishment and the fulfillment of the prophetic word of the release of the nation of Israel to go back to their land and to rebuild their temple and to get on with worshiping the Lord in their home territory. But so he's praying and he's fasting. And then the windows of heaven are open. An angel comes in on the 21st day of his praying and reveals to him what's taking place in the spirit realm. Reveals to him that, hey man, God heard your prayer on the very first day you started. And he released your answer, and I came to bring it. But as I came to bring the answer, I contended with the principality over Persia in the heavenly realms, and I was fighting and battling him. And then Michael, your angel, the angel that oversees Israel, came and helped me, and now I'm here to bring you the answer. So we got a glimpse through that window of experience that Daniel had that there's something is happening in the spirit realm. That because of the prayers of an individual, an answer was able to come to him as he persisted in prayer, as he continued to believe in God and his word, trusting him. God, come on, man. We are a nation in captivity where you prophesied through your prophet that we'll be free in 70 years. So God, I'm asking right now that, Lord, you forgive our nation of all our sins, that you bring about a breakthrough and answer. And the heavens are open, and he saw what's operating in the spirit. Remember, Elisha's servant went out from his from the house after serving Elisha his breakfast and went outside to go and grab the newspaper. And remember in the days we had newspaper? Yep, it was those sort of days. He went to get his newspaper. And as he went out, he saw that there were an enemy army coming upon them. He saw the dust from the hooves of the horses in the distance. And he ran inside terrified, and he said to his master, hey, the enemy is coming, the enemy is coming, we need to get out of here. And Elisha calmly said, it's all good. God's got it covered. And he laid his hands on the eyes of his servant, and the eyes of the servant was opened to see in the spirit realm, and he saw angels and chariots of fire around on the mountaintops surrounding them. So he got a glimpse in the spirit realm that there are more for him than there are against him. I love Michael W. Smith's song where he says, when I'm surrounded by you. That's where that thought comes from. We may be in a circumstance where we think the enemy is coming upon us and that we are in a place where we're going to get defeated, that we're going to get overridden. But no, there's more for us than there is against us. When we are surrounded by our enemy, we're surrounded by him. Amen? We know when we read in the New Testament, Paul says in Ephesians 6 that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and thrones and wicked spirits. So he describes a hierarchy of angelic forces, demonic angelic forces. They were angels, now demons, forces in the devil, in the heavenlies, right? And he says, put on the armor of God, and having done all, just stand. We know that it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, I think it is, that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, we don't use machine guns or cannons or any instrument of war that we use in the natural, but our weapons are spiritual. And that when we battle the enemy, it's using these spiritual weapons, the word of God, our prayer. And he goes on to say that we have the power to cast down every argument. And those arguments are the arguments that we hear in our heads. The battlefield's in here. You know, when the devil says you're useless, you're no good. Oh, you sinned again. How can God back you up now that you got sin in your life? You're no good. You're useless. And we find ourselves believing the lie rather than embracing the truth. And instead of experiencing forward momentum in our lives, we find ourselves going backwards. And then we beat ourselves up even more. And we find ourselves defeated. But the Bible says, come on, rise up again and just keep pushing forward. The scripture that I've got that I want us to look at this morning is the foundational scripture of this message. It's found in Proverbs 24, verse 16. And the guy's going to put up on the screen just so that you can see that I'm reading from the scriptures. Amen. The scripture says this, that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he rises again. A wicked man may experience calamity, but he falls. Let me say that again. A righteous man or a good man, a righteous woman or a good woman may fall seven times, but they get up again. But a wicked man, a wicked woman will experience calamity and they'll be overtaken and they'll stay down. Seven times you may fall, and seven times you'll get up again. Let me unpack this a bit more. Psalm 37 says this, the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord. Though he what? Falls. Though he falls, though he stumbles, though he trips up, he shall not be utterly cast down, but he be lifted up. What is this? What do these scriptures tell me? They tell me that as righteous men and women, as children of the living God, we will fall over. We will have times when the enemy will put his foot out and we'll trip up. There'll be times when we'll stumble in our life and we may wallow on the ground for a bit and a bit of pity. But what makes us righteous, what makes us good, is the fact that we look to where our help comes from and we rise again. We get up again. I want us to understand something here. You know, we may seek perfection and we may try and work ourselves into a place where we are, in our own eyes, holy. But the reality is we live in fallen bodies. We live in a fallen world, and there's the devil who roams around like a roaring lion, seeking out whom he may devour. His mission statement is found in John 10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come to give us abundant life. So the enemy's mission is to trip us up. The enemy's mission is to cause us to fall over and to stumble and to ultimately destroy us. And we can embellish, I guess, our weaknesses and then allow those things to overtake our thinking to the point where we think we're no good, we're hopeless, we're useless, and allow the enemy to shroud us in death to the point where we find ourselves staying on the ground rather than looking to where our help comes from, placing our trust in him and rising up again and pushing ahead again. Though a righteous man falls down seven times, he'll get up again. He'll get up again. And this morning, I just have a sense there may be someone in the room here today. You may have fallen over. You may be in a place where you think, man, what is this all about? I'm not worthy of God. We had communion this morning, and I feel like I can't even come to the table because I can't even look at God in the eyes because where I've been, where I've come from, where I've found myself in this time in my life. But I'm telling you this morning, come on, get up again. Your righteousness is not based on what you do. It's based on what he's done. You just got to trust in him and believe the fact that he is for you and not against you. That's why it says in scripture, having done all, just stand. You might be on the ground, get up, and you may not have any energy to take any steps forward or anything, but just stand. Just stand. God, I'm standing. I can't see, but I'm standing. You're the one who's making way for me. I may fall 7 times, God, but I'm getting up again. The number 7 is the number of completion. Number 7 is the number of perfection. So perfection is found in getting up. It's found in the getting up. It's found in the getting up. It's found in the getting up. Oh, man, that sin that easy ensnares me is overtaking me again. Perfection is found in getting up. Cast that sin aside. Come before the throne room of God. Don't wait till Sunday. Do it every morning. Do it at lunchtime again if you have to, because your morning turned to custard. Do it at dinner time because the afternoon was just... You understand me, church? Get up again. A righteous person gets up again. 7 times. We've got to be like the persistent widow. The whole deal is about having faith. Having faith. The persistent widow in Scripture, Jesus says at the end of that story, will I find faith on earth like this? She was a woman that got up again. Got up again. She came to the judge. Says, judge, is not fair. My neighbor should not have my land. It's my land. It's mine. And the judge looked at her and says, it's written in the law. If you don't have a husband, if you don't have a son, if you don't have your husband's brother to marry you, then you lose every right. It's not yours. Sorry. But that's not fair. She goes away. She thinks about it. She prays about it. Says, God, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. Your word says that you are a husband to the widow. You're a father to the orphan. So that land is my land because you're my husband. And look, God, it's not fair. God, you need to speak to that judge. You need to bring some sense to that judge. And then she begins to email the judge. She begins to text the judge. She begins to stand in front of the courtroom with a placard saying, it's not fair, you're unjust, it's not fair, that land's my land. And she begins to harass this judge. Goes home, sends another email. The next morning, back in front of the courthouse with a placard again, it's not fair. She was on TV now because she was making such a ruckus. On the news, widow woman, been harassed. Well, the judge has been harassed by a widow woman. In the end, the judge says it'd be better for me if I just give her the land. She was persistent. She knew the word of the Lord. She understood that she's just going to keep praying, keep pressing in, keep pressing in. The prayers of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, avails much. What does that mean? Someone who gets up again and prays. Someone who gets up again and pray. Though a man or a woman falls down 7 times, they'll get up again and they'll pray. They'll get up again and they'll press into God. They'll get up again and just go for what is right. They won't be beaten down. They won't be pushed back. They won't be subjugated. They'll rise up again and go for that which is God's in Jesus' name. They will not allow the enemy to override them. They'll not allow the devil to have his place. They'll take territory in the name of Jesus. How can we be overcomers if we don't have opposition to overcome? How can we learn to love people if we don't have people that we don't love? You following me here? Yeah, they're difficult people in our world so that we can, so God can teach us how to love them. I love the story about Elijah here, and the story about from James, where it talks about the prayers of a righteous man avails much. I mean, you've heard me say this before, but let me say it again here this morning. Elijah heard the prophetic voice of God. that rain is going to come. Now is the time. Go and tell the king. So he goes and tells the king, and then he goes up the mountain and he prays. Gets on his knees and he prays. And then he sends a servant up to the top of the mountain. Hey, go have a look and tell me, do you see any signs of rain? So he goes up the top of the mountain, not only once, because he comes back with a report saying, no, we don't see any rain. So he prays again. He sends up again. Comes back, no sign of rain. Prays again. Seven times, he sends his servant up to the top of the mountain to see if there's any evidence of rain. And the seventh time he comes, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. But it's interesting, this scripture in James doesn't tell us that rain came because God prophesied it. The rain came because a man went seven times up the mountain and prayed. Seven times. God, you said it. And I told the king it's going to rain. You're making me look bad, God. He presses in again. And he's praying. Sends the servant up. No rain. Oh, gosh. And he's in there and he's praying, pressing in for the breakthrough. He must have foresaw, understood what's happening in the heavens. That there's a spirit at work in the heavenlies. There's something happening in the heavenlies that's stopping this fruition of this prayer. There are demons at work. There's a principality at work that's stopping the rain coming. So he's warring in the spirit, saying, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not starving. I'm coming in the name of the King of Kings and of the Lord of Lords. And I'm praying for breakthrough. I'm praying for rain to come. You said it, therefore I declare it in Jesus' name. And he's praying for the rain to come. The rain came because the righteous man got up again and he prayed. He got up again and he prayed. Seven times. There's a story found in 2 Kings chapter 5, I think it is. It talks about a general named Naaman. He wasn't a Jewish man. He was a Syrian from a foreign nation. He had a slave girl who was a Jewish girl. And he had leprosy. He had leprosy in his body. And the servant girl says to General Naaman's wife, why doesn't my master go to Israel? Because there's a prophet there that will heal him. So he goes to the wife says to him, this is what the servant says. And so he goes to the king of Syria and he says, dude, this is what my servant has said, I can get healed if I go to Israel. Can you write a letter for me? Can you sort of give me some endorsement to go and do this? So the king writes a letter and sends the letter to the king of Israel. The king of Israel reads the letter and he freaks out because the Syrian nation was a dominant force in the earth at the time. And he thought, I can't heal him. And he freaked out because if he couldn't heal him, that means they'll get angry and come and beat him up. Amen. And he rips his clothes and says, I can't do it. And the prophet hears about the king's reaction and says to the king, tell him to come and see me. Why are you ripping up your clothes? We serve a mighty God. Send that general to me. So the general finally arrives at Elisha's house, and Elisha comes out the door, and the general's still sitting on his horse. He says, "Oh, I've come that I may be healed." And Elisha says, "Oh, yeah, easy. Just go and jump in the river there, and dip yourself in the water, go under seven times, and you'll be made well." And the general was highly offended. He came all this way for have a guy come out of his tent to say, oh, just go and jump in the river there. Dip yourself seven times. And the Jordan River wasn't a big river. It was a dirty thing because the Bible says that his reaction was, why should I go into that river? There's better rivers in that country. And he's highly offended. And then one of the servants said to him, what do you got to lose? What do you got to lose? You've got leprosy, man. Go and jump in the river and see what happens. So he goes into the river. This mighty general, feeling incredibly vulnerable and humbled. And he dips in the water once, comes out of the water, looks at himself, still the same. Again, twice, three times, the fourth time. You're thinking by the fourth, fifth time, he'd be thinking, oh, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. What am I doing in this river? I'm a general who leads mighty armies, and here I am dipping in this muddy water. I'm sure these guys are just doing it so they can laugh at me, these blooming Hebrew boys. But he goes again, and on the seventh time when he rises out of the water, he's cleansed. Seven times. Seven times. A righteous man may fall, may trip, may stumble seven times, but he gets up again. A wicked man may experience calamity, may go through some trouble, but they stay down. A righteous man gets up again and again and again. Church, I know what it's like, and in my shortness of age, my lifespan to this point, I've experienced ups and downs, and I don't know, I've gone through some troubles in my eyes, and this is not the first time, it's not even the second time, it's not even the third time, it's not even the fourth time, it's not even the fifth time. Since the age of 16 to now, I've had ups and downs because of these little things. And I believe in the healing power of God. Don't get me wrong. And there are times where I've gotten down because of it. But I got to tell you, I bounced back pretty quick this time around. Hey, sweetheart. And I'm not boasting because I know prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer is a powerful thing. I've had partners in you, and there's others around the nation who've been praying, and their prayer has helped me rise again. They've helped me bounce back again. I didn't get down in my mouth and allow depression to come on me, and I begin to beat the ground and think, God, I'm supposed to be called to this, I'm supposed to be doing that, and you call me here, look at me. But I rose again. There's something of the dynamic of the Spirit and power of God at work. And this morning, I don't know where you are, but I know that you're in this house, not by accident or by mistake, but by divine appointment. And you may have found yourself in a valley. You may find yourself on the ground. You might find yourself have fallen. And again, this may not be your first time either. This may not be your second time. This may not even be your third time. It might be your fourth, fifth, maybe it's your sixth time. But God is here to raise you up again, to lift you up again. A wicked man ignores the help of God. A wicked man despises God. A wicked man says no to rising up again. That's why they're wicked. But a righteous person always says, yes, God, help me, God. Oh, I don't want to go to the altar call. I've been to the altar call before. What will people think? Come again. Come again. I don't care if it's your 25th time. Come again. A righteous man gets up again. Gets up again. In the book of Jericho, in the book of Joshua, this is the story of the walls of Jericho, right? God tells Joshua to gather all the nation and for them to walk around the city. How many times? Seven times. And on the seventh day, they go around seven times, right? I think about that story. Because on the seventh day, I mean, going down around it one day, just imagine, I mean, the city of Jericho is huge. We don't really get in our heads how big it was. I mean, let's just say it's the size of Wallacetown. And walking around the circumference of Wallacetown, for some of us, it'd be hard work. Let me speak for me. That would be hard work. Right? Doing it once, it's all right. I think I might accomplish that. But doing that for 6 days in a row, and then on the seventh day, doing it seven times. Now listen to me. On the seventh day, they walked around it seven times, and they weren't allowed to make a noise. They had to be quiet. To me, this shows you the power of Joshua's leadership. Any leader would know, trying to keep people quiet while doing something they don't really want to do is no easy task. No easy task. I tell you what, I'll walk around, I may accomplish it once, and then I'll say, guys, I'm going to sit here, I'll catch you on the next time round. Yeah? But no, they went around it seven times, and on the seventh time, the walls came crashing down with the shout of praise to God. Seven times. Though a righteous man, a righteous woman falls, trips, stumbles seven times, they'll rise again. This morning, I just have a sense that God is in this room. His hand is stretched out to lift us. And you're saying, come on, girl. Come on, my friend, rise up again. Rise up again. You may have some shaky legs. You may be feeling like, I don't know if I can stand by myself. We serve a miracle-working God. And we just reach out and step out, and knees will be strengthened. Because our God strengthens the knees of the feeble. He strengthens those who call upon Him. In fact, I sense the Spirit saying, let the weak say, I am strong today. Let the weak say, I am strong again. Let faith arise in your heart this morning and say, I'm getting up today. I'm rising into all that God has for me today. I'm not going to allow my circumstances to override my destiny in God. I'm not going to allow the circumstances to push me down. I'm not going to allow the devil to take me out. I'm not going to allow the spirits that are on assignment against me to harass me anymore. I'm going to rise up in the name of Jesus. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for he'll get up again. You're in this house today because you're a good man, you're a good woman. You chose to come to the house of God. That's it. Let me just put that clear in your minds. You're good because you came to the house of God. That there in itself is an act of spiritual warfare. You got out of your bed this morning and you said, no to the devil. I'm going to church. I don't feel like it. Everything's working against me. But this morning I'm just going. Perhaps this is the day. Perhaps God will lift me out of this pit today. Perhaps God will do something today. You've come because you're a good man, you're a good woman. And this morning, God's going to meet with you. Because His Word promises in James 4, verse 7. If we resist the devil, and you did that this morning by coming to church. I resist you, devil. I'm not going to be tempted by any other thing other than come to church. And I've submitted my heart to God and saying, God, I'm here, God. God, touch me. God, do something. My life is turning to custard. God, I'm on the ground. The Bible says in James 4:7, resist the devil, submit to God. Then draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. This morning, I'm going to give you an opportunity to draw near to God, knowing that he'll come to you and meet you where you're standing, right here at the front of church, at the altar. Because today is the day where God wants to restore some stuff. Today's the day where God wants to bring some healing. Today's the day where God wants to demolish some mindsets, some thinking, some things that are going on in your world that the enemy has tried to embellish over your life and in your life. But God wants to see that stuff cut off in Jesus' name and see you walk in freedom. For the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus come to give us life and life in his full. And I can tell you this morning, I'm standing here under a condition that many would see is, how can God do that, allow that? I don't care. I'm just doing what God's called me to do, and I feel free. I feel free. I am free in Jesus' name. I know the liberating power of the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is here in this place today.